You are watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Let's talk tech, but on top of that, let's also talk undersea cables. Because of the past few days, we've had a lot of chatter, a lot of mudslinging, if I would say so myself, when it comes to what went wrong, particularly after the announcement of the Facebook undersea cable. The Transport Minister, Dr. Wee Siong, says that the revocation of the cabotage policy was done because they want to focus a little bit more on the Malaysian vessel and shipping industry. But he has received a lot of flack. And over the past few days, we've seen the former Transport Minister, My Internet Exchange, or MyX, even Soya Chin Chow has chimed in on the argument as well, saying that some of the arguments brought forth by the Transport Minister is not just inconclusive, but inconsistent with the overall general idea that the government wants to do, which is to be one of the more important destination for undersea cables in this region. In fact, the My Digital Blueprint program has, by 2025, stated that that is going to be the target. Why is it important for us to have all these undersea cables running through our country, going from the Pacific Ocean to the Indian Ocean, connecting the US with the eastern side of the globe and western side as well? It's because we want to improve the internet capacity of our country, and we all know that very important study that shows that the GDP of a country will probably increase by a few points if the country has good and stable internet. To roll things backwards, 5G was supposed to be implemented fourth quarter of last year or third quarter of last year. That has been postponed because of the pandemic. In fact, the recent announcement was that fourth quarter of this year will be the date that will be introduced in terms of nationwide 5G rollout. And instead, in replacement, we're talking about a My Jendela program of 4G. Now, this is in turn, I suppose, related to the whole cabotage policy that has been revoked by the former Transport Minister, Anthony Loke, around April of 2019, that allows for foreign vessels to come into our shores and repair undersea cables. That has since been overturned by the current Transport Minister, Dr. Wee Siong, in November last year, November 2020. And because of that, there has been some news reports that says that some of the tech giants like Google and Facebook have skipped Malaysia and instead went to Singapore and Indonesia. So here to unpack all this, that was a rather long introduction actually for me, even by my standards. Here to introduce this whole conversation and bring it forward is Nabila Hussein, the tech policy fellow of the Social and Economic Research Initiative of SERI. Nabila, thanks for gracing our studios here late at night.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about the arguments brought forth by the Transport Minister, Dr. Wee Siong. He says that the decision to skip Malaysia is unrelated to the cabotage policy and is instead due to the lack of data center infrastructure in Malaysia. That comment has drawn flak from various parties, including from the chairman of MDEC, who has just come on the show and considered this before our show, talking about Wee Siong should check his facts, basically, before talking about data centers and the lack of it in Malaysia. Do you buy this argument that the tech giants of Silicon Valley skipped us because there's no data centers?
Well, thanks, Ibrahim, for that. I think I would concur in this case with MDEC's view in that Malaysia does have data center infrastructure in place, and also has incoming investment, as we saw with the My Digital announcement by the Prime Minister, and the fact that he also shared that the government has provided conditional approval to four companies seeking to develop hyperscale cloud and data services in Malaysia. So given that, I find it a little bit difficult to believe the justification that seems to be inconsistent with that provided by the Prime Minister and the announcements of incoming investment as well.
Some major investors, including Vets Berhad, Keppel Data Centres, Alpha Data Centre Fund, Catalyst Data Management, Regal Orion, are all some of the companies that are already in Malaysia providing data centres. And it seems like data centre is very much intertwined with undersea cables, if you think about it, because one cannot exist in optimal situation without the other. So does even if, let's just say, even if we have a lack of data centers, wouldn't it be more beneficial for us to move forward and have more data cables, underwater sea cables running through our country?
Absolutely. So when we have an increase in submarine cables, undersea cables, what we are enabling is greater bandwidth, greater transmission of data, which then brings the need for greater number of data centers so that we have higher capacity for data processing and data storage. So it's a somewhat circular argument where more data centers brings in more submarine cables and vice versa.
You published a report, or Suria at least published a report, talking about why was Malaysia bypassed. It was the lack of the protectionist policies for the local companies, or you know, and or the revocation of it. What are the main reasons why Malaysia was bypassed?
Well, I suppose with looking at it holistically, there could be various reasons. But the most recent revocation of the cabotage exemption in November 2020 does seem to reduce Malaysia's appeal as an investment destination. The reason that the cabotage policy is so critical here is because technology companies are investing great amounts of money into digital infrastructure. And so they own or co-own these cables. And in most cases, they would like to be able to decide how these cables are managed. And so this protectionist, or some say monopolistic, stance taken by the transport minister in this case, protecting local industry, protecting the local shipping vessels which are able to mend these damaged cables. But the question is, how many are there? And what about the local technology companies which are hoping and looking out for greater investment into our digital infrastructure so that they can serve not only Malaysia but the region?
Okay, so there's two arguments that was brought forth by the former Transport Minister Anthony Lok. He is saying that, first of all, the companies that can actually execute maintenance and repairs for undersea cables in Malaysia, there's only one. Mm-hmm. And of that, the second argument is that of that one vessel, it's actually, older technology, a DP1 vessel instead of DP2. Mm-hmm. The current Transport Minister, Wee Ka Siong, was saying that there is actually no difference between DP1 and DP2. There is only software redundancies. And he says that, and quote, it is actually illogical for the tech giants to actually say that this is a big problem. And of course, the protectionist policy that was introduced by the current Transport Minister, Wee Ka Siong, was actually lauded by the Malaysian Ship Owners Association, or MASA, saying that we should actually grow our domestic shipping industry by allowing for Malaysian shipping companies to be able to conduct these kind of undersea water cables. So is this a protectionist policy or not?
So at the moment, and in its current form, with the revocation of the cabotage exemption and the longer time for approvals, the approvals policy isn't just limited to the Ministry of Transport. A company seeking to conduct repairs would also have to seek clearance from both the Ministry of Home Affairs and the Ministry of Domestic and Consumer Affairs as well. So it is quite a lengthy process, which remains at about 27 days. With the cabotage exemption being revoked. When there was an exemption allowing foreign vessels, this was brought down to 14 days. So, I've lost my train of thought.
All right, okay. So let's talk a little bit more about the MDEC position paper on impact of cabotage policy on submarine cable operations and investment. This position paper was published by Suya Chin Chow on the 5th of April, providing some sort of insight into the risk and perhaps issues pertaining to the undersea cable right now. In the executive summary, it says that the risk of prolonged outages caused by long delays in permitting foreign flagged submarine cable repairs to commence repair work in Malaysian waters due to Malaysia's cabotage policy and a lack of domestic suitable DP2, which is the modern type of vessel, cable repair vessels, has resulted in some of the foreign companies not coming to Malaysia altogether because of these kind of restrictions. And of course, MDEC also presented a situational analysis of how Malaysia is going to lose out Because there would be two gateways, all bypassing Malaysia altogether. We all know about the Southern Gateway, which is Singapore. And it says here, according to MDEC, Singapore is an entry port in both container cargo and communications cable. They say that currently they have an estimated of a lot of subsea capacity. And they do give a lot of supplying units to the island. Up in the north, Thailand, according to MDEC, has aspirations to become the second ASEAN connectivity hub. And MDEC says that they are leveraging on their Satun Songkla digital Panama Canal, which allows for cables to bypass the so-called inherently risky Straits of Malacca and save up to 1,200 kilometers worth of cable laying. So that is where we are at right now. Both Thailand and Singapore are trying to exploit their literal geographical situation and perhaps leave Malaysia out. So this is what we're talking about. What is at stake right now? The local Malaysian shipping industry that perhaps we can grow, and perhaps this, we're starting at a very low base right now, or the risk of losing out towards becoming attractive for large Silicon Valley companies with the likes of Facebook, Google, and even Microsoft and Amazon to these kind of protectionist policies. Moving forward, how do you think we can resolve these kind of issues when it comes to becoming more competitive in the region?
Right. So when we look at the digital economy, it is global by default. And the digital economy is such that it is multi-stakeholder, which really calls for a collaborative approach. And therefore, there really is no place for protectionist or monopolistic measures.
Okay.
While I do understand that governments have the responsibility to protect local industry and local players, I think it's also worth noting that there have been various local technology companies which have called on the Transport Ministry to reinstate the cabotage exemption, shedding a light on the fact that there are local players which have a stake in this and would like the Transport Ministry to decide otherwise. So I think there's a balancing act here, definitely. But perhaps the middle path would be to reinstate the cabotage exemption while developing the local ability to repair cables, because it really does come down to skills and our talent ecosystem. And if the issue is that there are no local players able to repair cables in a timely and effective manner, then perhaps the way forward is to allow business continuity, allow technology companies to reap the benefits of an exemption, but at the same time put in place frameworks and programs in order to build that local talent.
All right, heavy discussions currently happening. We'll go for a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Nabila of Seri. Welcome back. I have here Nabila Hussein of Seri talking about the digital blueprint of Malaysia and, of course, the much talked about cabotage policy and the revocation of it by the current administration. In your, report here, Nabila, it says that blueprint for Malaysia when it comes to the Malaysia digital economy blueprint wants Malaysia to have the highest number of submarine cables landing in Southeast Asia by 2025. But we have this issue where foreign companies and tech giants are not looking at Malaysia being attractive. So there is an inconsistency in what the blueprint is trying to do with the actions of the some of the ministries, including the Transport Ministry. Do you see any reconciliation moving forward because of these inconsistencies?
So it's quite difficult to reconcile. I think you said it. It is difficult to reconcile due to the fact that the blueprint sets out these targets, which sit under the purview of the Communications and Multimedia Ministry. However, the cabotage policy sits within the Ministry of Transport. And so there is really a need for collaboration and communication between the two ministries. If we were to rewind the clock back to April 2019, it was actually Time Telecom Malaysia and YB Gobind Singh, who was previously the Communications and Multimedia Minister, who collaborated with YB Anthony Loke, then Transport Minister, in order to put in place this exemption. So there really needs to be inter-ministry collaboration here for this to work.
All right, let's recap again. The cabotage exemption for foreign vessels to conduct undersea cable repairs was introduced by Anthony Loke in April 2019, as we prefaced earlier on in the show. And according to Anthony Loke, it was requested by Telecom Malaysia and Time.com in November 2018. The move, as you were mentioning, was also supported by Gurmit Singh's ministry at that time, the Ministry of Communications and Multimedia. Yeah. And according to Wee Siong, there is an EDSL system which allows for foreign vessels to apply to the Ministry of Transport to make it quicker. But The Edge has reported in February this year that the tech giants are turning to the Ministry of Science, Technology and Innovation, headed by Khairi Jamaluddin, as well as the Ministry of Finance, headed by Tengku Zafrul, for helping to solve the cabotage issue. There is an issue here where tech giants are resorting to other ministries to help resolve this instead of going to MOT, the Ministry of Transport. I don't have the proof that these companies are turning to MOSTI and MOF, other than the fact that Suhail Chincha was reporting it. But if this is the situation, how do you think the Transport Ministry can help clarify if the tech giants are satisfied with the faster approval process under the EDSL system? Is there a need for the tech giants to come in to actually solve this and work together with the current administration using the two other ministries instead of the Transport Ministry? There has also been some reports that a memo was sent by the tech giants to the Prime Minister himself, Tan Sri Muhyiddin, to help solve this. Seems like they want this to be resolved far quicker than what the government is trying to resolve. Mm. Is that the impression that we're trying to get here?
Well, that does seem to be the case. The situation does seem to be quite dire in that the technology companies, the private sector, technology companies, both local and foreign, who have invested here, are calling on the government in various forms, as you mentioned. And yet, things don't seem to be moving. I think it is incumbent upon us to realise that investors do have options, and it is upon us to ensure that we remain competitive. The digital economy, using leveraging technology to transform our economy, is not new to Malaysia. We've been doing this since the multimedia super corridor. And I think we really do need to move quicker. Agile policy making is critical to ensure that we do move forward, we are not left behind, and we unlock the potential of the digital economy.
Okay, so if viewers are watching this right now and they're trying to understand this better, what would be some of the key things that we need to look out for in terms of resolving this ever-changing and perhaps even very dire situation right now when it comes to having good internet, fast internet and so on?
Yeah.
How do you think they can understand this issue better?
So fundamentally, I think we need to think about subsea cables, these submarine cables that go through the oceans, 400 of them across the world. We need to think of them as the highways and the railways of the 21st century. These are our digital trade routes, and these are responsible for 95% of our voice and data transmission. A lot of us think that our emails, our messages, our images get transported over satellites, but that's really only responsible for 5%. So these subsea cables are really the global backbone connecting communities, people and economies. I think that's really fundamental, because imagine a disconnected Malaysia where without MySejahtera, for example, without e-wallets. This is really a question of being investor-friendly, being forward-looking. But beyond investment, it's really about socio-economic well-being. There is a digital divide that exists. A lot of efforts are being done to close that divide. But I do worry that with this cabotage policy, we risk a digital divide not only within Malaysia, but between Malaysia and other countries. And we really can't afford to be left behind.
A lot of people think that cloud is literally in the cloud, but it's actually underwater.
To some extent, yes, powered by cables. There are data centres underwater in the ocean. A lot of them are on land. But that's part of the digital economy that we live in. It's around us, it's so pervasive, and it really does require a multi-stakeholder collaborative approach. A protectionist stance may allow us to grow, but only to a certain extent, after which we as a country of 32 million people will be restricted to that market size. But if we were to open our borders, cross-border data flow, and allow for interaction, for example, within ASEAN, that's opening us up to a market size that's bigger than the European Union. So the future, I think, really relies on us remaining competitive, opening up our borders, becoming more resilient with our digital infrastructure and our digital talent in order to really reap the benefits of this digital era.
A lot of upside, but it seems like there's a grinding to a halt right now with the government's policies. Do you see any way out of this?
So I think it's important for us to note that this, in this particular instance, the shipping ordinance has existed since 1952, the cabotage law since 1980. Submarine cables have been around since the time of the telegraph, but technology has advanced exponentially. I mean, we are now in the fourth industrial revolution, as we are well aware. And I think it's time for us to really reflect and review the policies and regulations that are in place today and question if they are truly fit for the digital era. I think we run the risk of losing out if we continue to try to force fit policies developed in the analog age into the digital age. I think there really is an opportunity here for us to hit refresh and look at what a reset means for Malaysia in the digital economy.
Fantastic. What a way to end. We will continue to keep an eye out on this issue because, as we all are aware, this story is still developing, and then there's a lot of brickbats that are currently happening between the vested parties involved. If you want to learn more about this issue, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for the issues there. You can also look at my show, astrowin.com/notepad. You can also find these kind of issues on these kind of topics as well on that website. You can also watch these shows, not just mine, but also all of Astro Awani's assets on your mobile devices. Just download the Astro Awani app wherever you get the application. But until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.